My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 23rd of September 2009. The time is 4:10 in the afternoon, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age, and where you've come from?
Lois Robinson. I'm 25, and I've come from... Well, I live in London, but I'm originally from Yorkshire.
When did you move to London?
2 years ago.
And what inspired that move?
A job. Before that, I was living in Japan, and I came back and wanted to find a job using Japanese, and London's the place to do that. So I moved down to London and started working for a Japanese company.
What were you doing in Japan?
I did Japanese at university, so that was my major, and then I lived out there for 1 year as a student, and then came back, graduated, and then went back out to try and brush up, and did interpreting and translation at a city hall up in the very north of Japan. So it was kind of an international relations role, but using Japanese language and obviously native English. So.
And how did you find your time over in Japan?
Amazing. It's my second home now, really. It took a while to get used to. It's a very weird and wonderful country, but yeah, it was fantastic. And I'd love to go back, maybe not to live this time, but just to go back and see some old friends. And yeah, it's fantastic. And the people were just so welcoming. It was a great place to be for 3 years in total.
What could you say were the differences between Britain and Japan?
Where do I start? There's so many. Just everyday life is so different. I think the work ethic is the major difference, because they work extremely long hours and have very little family time and free time and holiday time, which is quite a shame. So that took a while to get used to, working in a Japanese office. And there's a very strict hierarchy in an office, which is really interesting, fascinating to learn, and it all goes back to the back thousands of years to the feudal system. So it's quite interesting to see how it's developed to modern day. But just everything is so different. The houses are different. They have, you know, crazy weather like typhoons, and they have earthquakes, and obviously it's an island nation, so they get lots of really great fish, kind of, I suppose, like we do. But yeah, most things are different, actually. The everyday culture is, yeah, totally different. But that's why it's so interesting, because it's just so crazy. It takes a while to get into.
Would you say you adjusted to their society?
Yeah, I think it took me the whole of my first year when I was a student to feel comfortable there. And things always surprised me, but I was much more comfortable going out the second time after I graduated, because I knew a little bit more about what to expect. Because where I was in the second time was actually up in the very north, and it snows for 6 months of the year. So that was crazy. It was like, I felt like I was in Canada or something, whereas in the south, it's very, very hot and almost tropical. So it's a very unusual country in that it has all these kind of microclimates. So it was really, yeah, it was fascinating trying to get used to that kind of everyday situation with having to shovel snow to get out your house and stuff as well. So it took a while, but second time round, it was much easier to figure out what was going on.
And how did you find the Japanese people reacted to you?
Very kindly. They were always up in the countryside. They were really kind of bewildered, I suppose, and they would say, "Wow, you're tall," or "Look at your hair, it's blonde," or that kind of thing. And that was sometimes slightly annoying, because you just want to kind of blend in, you know, after you've been there for months and you speak the language, you just quite like to not be stared at. But it's in a they're all curious. It's a very kind way. They're not staring, kind of thinking you're weird, but they're just really curious, because up in the north they get very few foreigners. So that's really interesting to be able. It was a great opportunity to be able to teach them about European ways and British culture, and particularly the four countries that make up the UK, because they really don't know much at all. They just know kind of Harry Potter and the Queen and afternoon tea, and they don't really know anything about daily life or the political system or anything. It's just kind of the stereotypical images, like how we have for Japan and sumo and sushi, and which, you know, isn't really a true depiction of what Japan's really like either. So
if you could, do you mind trying to sort of show a true depiction of Japan from your eyes and your experience?
The average Japanese person, I think, is quite honed into nature. They know a lot about the seasons and seasonal produce, and you can see that in their diet, exactly what they eat. It's very is, yeah, they really think about the seasons when they prepare things, and they're extremely polite people and very, very good at presenting things. So whether it's even a really mundane small thing, it'll probably be beautifully presented. And it all, again, that's a cultural thing, in the same way that the kimonos are always presented very, very specifically. There's a very specific way of tying things. They have lots of kind of rules and set ways of doing things, which is fascinating as a tradition. But at the same time, it's very difficult to try and experience that without as a foreigner, you just feel like out of place, and you're just like this big lanky white person trying to do something Japanese but not quite getting it. So yeah, it's very difficult to describe the typical Japanese person. But I think they do idealise the West quite a lot, which I think in some ways is great, but other ways you think, I hope you don't become too Americanized and the next few generations start changing too much and lose the Japanese identity, because the cities are very quickly becoming like any other foreign city. So yeah, it's nice if they lose the West is best attitude, I think.
Where could you say that stemmed from, that sort of idealism?
Well, I think it's just after the war, obviously the Americans were occupying Japan, and I think after the war things developed very, very quickly, and the Americans helped Japan rebuild the country, and as a result things obviously become Americanized as they have in other countries post-wars. So I think they thought, oh wow, this is new, this is unique, and it's very different, and as a result that's kind of, it's just continued from then really. But having said that, Tokyo is still a very crazy city. It's definitely not the same as London. It's very skyscrapers and neon, and Tokyo is very different from the rest of Japan. It's just never sleeps, crazy, can't quite take it in. It's people watching is fantastic there.
How are women treated over in Japan?
Different, but it's different from China. It's not. It's much more equal than it is in China. But having said that, still a lot of women would get married and probably give up their jobs pretty much automatically. The latest generation, I guess, it's changing slightly, but women tend to be the housewives and the men will go to work, so it's still very traditional in that way. But in terms of rights and respect and everything, it's fine. But in actual reality, you get very few bosses in workplaces that are female. But yeah, it's more the home life. The women runs the home and the man's at work, much more so than it is here, I would say.
Did you meet any geishas over there?
Geisha, yeah, I actually did really lucky. I was really lucky. It's very, very difficult to find a genuine one, and I actually saw the same one twice in one evening in Kyoto, which is a very old town where they have lots of these tea houses. And it's really difficult now to find real ones, because lots of people get dressed up and take photographs as if they are geisha. But we did actually see a genuine one who was trying to run away from everyone, and she was trying to be quite inconspicuous, and she was crossing the road on her own, and so we kind of ran after her and had a look. But it was so quick, I tried to take a picture and it was just a big blur. So, but it's quite cool in a way. I have definitely seen one, and I didn't get a photo, but I don't mind so much, because she was just, I think it was quite cool that she was in a hurry, and obviously a real one. So yeah, it was really special to go see that.
As a woman, what are your views on geishas?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, it's not something that's a huge deal in Japanese society, because sadly it's a dying trade. Like, not many people want to do it anymore. It's lost its appeal, and the companies don't have the money to splurge on huge parties anymore, and they're extremely expensive forms of entertainment. But they are, it's one of these mysterious jobs that I find fascinating, but no one really knows what they do. Obviously there's been lots of documentaries even shown over here, which I think are really cool, but no one really knows to what extent they are artisans. I mean, they learn all these crafts and dancing and how to use a fan to kind of almost do a play using fans and props, and the way that you pour the tea is very symbolic, and they have rigorous training in all these areas. But then there's obviously the sleaze side, when people say, but are they actually more like escort women? But I don't know, obviously. I think that's, who knows, it's all behind closed doors, the bamboo doors. But I think it's really amazing that there's a profession like that that still exists, that is kind of mysterious. And but I think I could definitely never do that kind of job. It's a very strange thing to do, I think. And especially the makeup and the hair and the torture they seem to go through for their appearance just doesn't appeal at all.
And once you left Japan, how did you find coming back to Britain? Was there a bit of a shock, or did you settle back in quite quickly?
Yeah, it was quite a shock. I didn't have very long between flying in and then moving down to London to relocate. So that was it's quite difficult. You definitely see Britain through different eyes. I'd just forgotten all the silly things that Brits do, or how the slang words or the colloquialisms and things. So I'd lived out there with either Japanese people or foreigners like Americans and Australians, and you forget kind of the everyday words that are used here that actually sound funny when you've not heard them for a while, and you know, Cockney slang and all the accents and things you just kind of forget about. And it made me very, very patriotic when I was out in Japan. I don't know, I suppose you protect where you come from and what you know when you're out there. And I was doing a lot of international relations, so I was doing lots of talks about British culture. So as soon as I came back, I wanted to go and see Big Ben, and I wanted to get on a bus, and I felt like there was a lot of my own country that I wanted to rediscover, and a lot of places I've not been to yet that I want to go to, like up in Scotland or in Northern Ireland and places like that. Because I would talk about them, or people would ask me about them, and I'd have to admit that I'd not actually been. So yeah, I felt very proud to be British, which was it was a strange feeling. But it took a while to get back into life, but yeah, but it wasn't such a huge step now that I work for a Japanese company. I still am surrounded by Japanese people and sometimes Japanese food, so it eased me into it better than a regular job would have, I suppose.
So what is your current job then?
I work for Fuji TV, which is a Japanese TV, commercial TV channel, so like ITV, but in Japan, and I work for the news desk, which is in Oxford Circus. And we cover news that's only broadcast in Japan. So we cover the UK and parts of Europe. And we shoot news stories, and yeah, they're only broadcast in Japanese in Japan. So today no one will see what I'm doing in England, which is quite nice.
Of course, what are you doing with your eye on the plane then?
Well, it was kind of a team effort, and my bosses, who are the regular correspondents for our channel, wanted me to do something Japanese related. Obviously we're shooting it for our Japanese viewers, so I thought it'd be quite cool to do something interactive, so we decided to make some rice balls. So I've got the rice prepared, and I'm going to kind of make it and wrap it up and then try and lower it in a basket over the net, which has been a bit of a logistical nightmare. Hopefully it will work, because we want something that kind of gets the people who are watching involved, and they'll be able to try a bit of the rice that they probably haven't had before, because I've not seen it sold around here. So it's just a simple rice ball. It's kind of everyday food in Japan, and hopefully they'll have a laugh watching me attempt to lower the pole as well. And yeah, just wanted something interactive but with a Japanese twist.
And how are you feeling about your aunt?
As it gets closer, a little bit nervous. Yeah, not sure who's coming. A few people are coming to support me, and I think that's a good thing, but at the moment they're sending me very mean text messages, so but yeah, it's good banter. I think it'll be fine once I get up there. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, so yeah, it'll be fun, I think.
And just to take you back to the very beginning, you said you studied Japanese, Japan,
yes,
at
yeah.
University. What inspired that choice?
At school, I'd always really liked doing languages, and I knew I wanted to do a language at university, but I didn't think it would make me particularly employable, just having a language. So then I started thinking about more unusual languages, and ones that would take me to a really cool country for a year abroad. And so Japan really appealed. I'd just heard a bit more about it in the news, and I thought it was safer than some other countries that I was considering. So yeah, it was more a cultural thing, and I knew that it was fairly safe and developed, because I was 19 when I went out. My parents were a bit wary. I think they would have freaked out if I'd gone somewhere, I don't know, in the middle of Africa or something. So it was more just I wanted to do languages and wanted to travel to a totally new culture and have a good year abroad in totally different surroundings.
And do you feel your year abroad have has changed you?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. I think I have more of an international outlook. And I got to do a lot of travelling from when I was in Japan in my holidays. I'd use it as a base to travel around Asia. So that was really fun, just to meet loads of new people and see some sites that normally I probably wouldn't have been able to afford to get to because it would be too far to fly from the UK. So yeah, I think it has changed me, and I've just... I've not really sat down and thought about how I've changed, but I think I grew up a lot because I was fairly young when I first went out there, and fairly naive, and yeah, I think I've definitely had more of an international outlook now.
And how did your parents feel when you went out?
They thought I was mad in the first place for doing Japanese, and they thought, oh, she's crazy, what kind of stunt is she trying to pull? And then they were quite worried when I first went out, because people don't know much about Japan, really, I find, in the UK, apart from the stereotypes that I mentioned earlier. But it was just this far-off country that was a 10-hour flight away, and their 19-year-old daughter was going, and what was she doing, and what was she letting herself in for? So I think they were quite apprehensive. But now, when I talk about it, they actually came out and visited, so when I talk about it, they can relate to what I went through, and we had such a good time out there. And then they really... I think once they shared my experience, they really could understand why I love going there and why I wanted to go back.
And just to take you outside of work and the plinth, what are your interests at the moment?
My interests. I love travelling, which I mentioned before. I absolutely love that. And I'm really into sailing dinghies. So nothing, unfortunately, not around the world or anywhere exotic, but I do lots of sailing and hiking in the Lake District and sometimes on the coast. So yeah, that's, I would say, sailing.
When did you first start sailing?
When I was about 15, I went to like a kids camp, an activity kids camp in the summer up in the lakes, and did hiking and kayaking and sailing, and then decided to get some qualifications so that I could be a leader on that kids camp. So that's what I do in the summers.
And you mentioned travelling obviously being a huge interest. Where is somewhere you haven't been, and where would you like to go?
I haven't been to South America at all, and I've always wanted to go, but I'm quite reluctant to go without speaking Spanish, because my pride gets in the way. I don't like it when English people rock up to a country and expect other people to speak their language, so I'd like to learn a bit of Spanish and then go to South America. I've always wanted to go, but where to start? It's so huge. I feel like I need to quit my job and go for a year and just, you know, travel around. So.
Because obviously you mentioned that you now feel a bit more international in your outlook. Could you see yourself living abroad?
Yeah, definitely. Probably within Europe, though, just for the cultural similarities. But I have a real affinity with France, so yeah, I could quite happily live in France, I think. But maybe not. I don't think I would live in Asia again. I'd go and travel there, but I do feel Europe is home. European countries are very similar culturally, aren't they now? So it's more like home, I think. But yeah, maybe in France. I could see that happening, maybe.
And how do you find British people react when you tell them about your year abroad in Japan?
They say, why Japan? What were you doing there? And then if you say you studied Japanese, people are really shocked. Because obviously it's not a very popular choice, but yeah, they're always really surprised. But I quite like being outside the box and quite like doing quirky things, so I figure life's too short to do, you know, mainstream stuff sometimes.
And how did you define your nationality?
British, yeah.
Still very much.
But I am half Scottish, so I'm quite proud of that side. My mum's from Perth up in Scotland, and I'm very proud of my Scottish heritage, even though I was brought up in Yorkshire. My mum's a proud Scot, and we go up there in the summers and that kind of thing. So,
what particularly about being Scottish makes you feel proud?
Well, again, I think it all just came out, especially when I was in Japan, and I'd end up harping on about Burns Night and kilts and all the stereotypical things, but I just love the landscape in Scotland. I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I love going up there and camping and walking and just the heather on the moors and just the mountains. It's just really beautiful. It's a really special part of the country, I think. And sadly, not enough Londoners get up there. And if they do, it's Edinburgh only. And I think that's shocking.
And I'm going to ask a question now that could be quite difficult, just purely in the fact that this project's sort of about a modern portrayal of Britain.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you could paint a picture of yourself for us at this moment in time.
Oh, that is difficult.
If you're having problems, try and think about the three words that you used when you applied to describe yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'd probably say lively, ambitious, and random. I definitely think I'm quite random. And I don't, although I am a young person working in London, I don't class myself as a young professional. I still kind of feel like, I don't know, I still feel like a student, but yeah, I don't know, reality hasn't quite sunk in. But yeah, that's quite a difficult question. Yeah, I should have prepared that one. don't know, will that, do I need to add more to that one?
Do you mind just elaborating what you mean by random?
Yeah, I tend to say, well, my friends think I'm quite random in that... I will say or do things that most people would just be too embarrassed to do, or things that people just, I don't know, look twice at and think, okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I do things sometimes that are just kind of spontaneous, and afterwards I might regret. But at the time I think, well, that was quite a laugh. So the plinth is probably quite a random thing to do, I have to say. And my friend said, only you would get a spot on the plinth and things like that, which made me laugh. So, yeah. I don't know if you can actually define random. That kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Thank you.